Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Okay. Come on up. We want to welcome you to Show Love Ministry, the whole world. We pray for all of you today, no matter where you are. And we're so grateful to be here for the East Coast and West Coast. You have entered the love zone with us today. I kind of make you feel alive and really get it great to worship. We always had a glorious time with the Lord. We had some good reading of scriptures. By the way, we read a Psalm 121. Don't you read the Psalm 121 today as well? He's going to bless your soul. Talk about what can happen before you meet your family. Amen. And you want upright in the Lord. Glory to God. So we have a speech for you today. We have our home, Pastor Valley's parents. I'm going to bring them to my niece, Sylvester. Very cool. She was able to go on a trip to ride.
Hallelujah, Jesus. It's amazing. You can have your seat. It's amazing when people die, we want to say so much about them and how we love them and how we miss them. But my God, when they're alive, we don't even give them their props. Huh? We don't even tell them we love them. My God. And Jesus, he gave his only begotten son. And you can't even get people to say he's a good God, Dr. V. You can't even get people to say, I love God. And he gives us breath every day. It's because of him that we live and we move and we have our being. What about God? My God, what about God? What about the one that wakes you up every morning? What is about the one who gives us breath in our body? What about the one, my God, to keep us from situations that cause us to lose our mind? And he says in his word, I'll keep you at perfect peace. Huh? You got a situation going on and your mind want to crash?
Yeah.
Huh? You think you want to get high? Get high on Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, get high on them today. All of us come to your God. Oh, I bless them. I bless them. Do I have a word? Yes, I do have a word. Hey. Oh, yes, I do. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
I tell you, I'm so excited about God. I'm just so excited about God. It's not an emotional thing with me. I love God today. I tell you, I wouldn't live without her. And I encourage you out there in Radio Land, don't live without God. You can't make it without him. Glory be to God. It's because of him. You are who you are. Glory be to God. It's not your mom and your daddy's DNA. It's what God said you're going to be. They don't determine who you are. They don't determine that to be where you're going to be and what you're going to be. Only God. If somebody got bad news, let me tell you something. The God we serve is turning around. The God we serve, my God, he can shift. One week of his eye can straighten up your life. One week of his eye can make you whole again. Nobody but God. Nobody but God can do it. Glory be to God. Nobody but God. I'm telling you, when God says what you're going to be, can't no man change it. It doesn't matter what they say about you. Oh, I know we're supposed to go one way, and God has taken me another way. But I'm here to encourage the radio man. It's God that keeps you. It's God that makes you who you are. I don't care how many DEs and AAs you got behind your name. If God don't anoint you, and if he don't do it, you ain't nobody. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, thank you, Father. It's because of him that we are who we are. It's because of him that we have life in our body and that we're not consumed in our own mess. It's because of the great I am. It's because of the one in Genesis that left their feet. Glory be to God. It's because of him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get it twisted, but it's because of Jesus Christ. He made us who we are.
Yes.
You turn with me to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and I'm not going to be long. Glory be to God. I tell you, I get excited about Jesus when I think about him.
Yes.
I just get excited. Some people say when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, I don't have to look back. I look where I'm at right now, and I say, thank you, God, for teaching me.
Yes.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory be to God. I just want to talk real quickly about Exodus, the 17th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. And it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands was heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. The one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And I'm going to stop right there. We're talking about holding up the man of God's hand. Holding up the man of God's hand. Holding up the woman of God's hand. I want to know, do we got any errands in the building today? Glory be to God. Do we got any Aaron's out there in radio land today? You see, Aaron was a person that holds up Joshua. And Aaron was a person that holds up Moses' hand. And I'm going to tell you something today. If you're looking at your man and woman of God, and you're looking at their flaws, and you're looking at what they ain't and what they're not, the question is, are you holding up their hand? Are you holding in prayers after me. Are you being an intercessor that God has called you to be? Are you going into the inner gate? Are you praying for them? Are you believing God for them? Are you trusting God to make a way out of nowhere? Can I tell you that God is looking for some answers today? Huh? He's looking for some people that will say, I'll stand in the gap for my man and my woman of God. I'll go into the inner court and take it on. Because as long as Aaron and Joshua held up Moses' hands through prayer, Moses could go through. And a lot of times leaders are falling today because the people of God are mumbling and they're complaining and they're talking among themselves and saying what they're not. When the last time you walked in their shoes? When the last time you got down on your face and prayed for the man and woman of God, let alone the saints of God? We come to the house of God and we complain. And we talk about one another and run one another down as a dog. We already know what the world do, but it's something about when you come in the house of God, when it's supposed to be the hospital. Huh? The church is the hospital. We understand that we are the church. We come to the building for worship. Let's don't get it twisted. But when you get here, when you get to the building, dog, my God, what do you do? Somebody got to pump you up. Somebody got to tell you, raise your hand, say thank you, Jesus. Say glory be to God. When you come in the building, you should come in with a praise. You should come in with a thank you, Jesus. You should come in with a glory, hallelujah. Just another day that the Lord has helped me. Huh? So we see here in the word of God, and I'm paraphrasing it, but we see that when Joshua and Aaron pulled up Moses' hand, Moses could hear from heaven. How many times when we hold up our leaders, and if we're praying and then we're in position, people are fighting for position and title, but the real position comes when you get down on your face in prayer. Huh? A title don't make you be in heaven. A position ain't going to be in heaven. I remember God spoke to me. He said, Gallery, in my kingdom, there is no position. There is no title. You don't come to the earth saying, Dr. B, Pastor Val. No, you come to earth. The Bible says, he said, before you were in your mama's womb, I knew you. And when he knew us, we didn't have no doctors and pastors and apostles and bishops. We had a name. And he's calling us today in Radio Land and here in the church. He's calling us by our name. And he said, if my people, who's our people today? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, whose name are we being called by? He said, if you're called by his name, and if you humble yourself, see, he ain't looking for pride. He ain't looking for you to say, I'm a deacon in the church. I'm on the usher board. I'm on the choir. I'm the altar. God don't care about that. He said, it's my people. The people of God, the one who say, I am Jesus' people, I have accepted him as my personal Savior. Yes. He said, if you're called by my name, in other words, if you accept him as your personal Savior, and you say, here I am, God, I surrender all. You might be a murderer today in Radio Land. You might be a homeowner. You might be a pedophile. You might have killed somebody. You might be strung out on drugs. You may be the drug addict today. But if you give your heart to God today, glory be to God. And if you allow him to call you, because he's calling us. God is finding us, and God is calling us. He's calling us into relationship, not position, not title, but relationship. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is that you got to know him. You got to answer the enemy. Love those that talk about you. He said, love covers a multitude of sin. I'm so glad this ministry is called Unfailing Love. What does that mean? Love won't fail. Huh? Love is not going to fail. There's no way in the world that I can love on you and you not be changed. There's no way in the world that I can love on you and allow Christ to come through me and he not bring on a change. Because when God shows up, when he shows up, he takes the load. That's why the word of God said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Huh? He said, I care for you. Daily forsake you, but God said, I care for you. Husbands leave you. He said, I care for you. Wives walk out. He said, I care for you. He said, I care for you. And when he cares for us, let me tell you what he do. He wraps his arms around you. He says, sin be gone. You say, but God, I commit a murder. He said, I forgive you. Do you say, God, I fall short? He said, get out. He said, I don't remember it no more. That's why the Bible said that if we ask God for forgiveness, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, God, I came short. Forgive me, God, I don't know what direction to walk. But God, forgive me. And in May we say, God, forgive me. He said, done. Done. Wiped away. So if God has wiped it away, who is man to charge us? Who is man to point a finger and remind you of your past when God said, I took it on the cross 2,000 years ago? Nothing that you can do to keep God from loving you. Nothing. Nothing we can do. He loves us with an everlasting love. So much so that he gave his only begotten son. My God, that we can have eternal life. What a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God. And I tell you, it's Aaron and Joshua held up the man of God. My God, not only could he hear, but he got clarity. He got direction. He knew how to lead them out of bondage and to victory. And that's the same way God wants us to be with the man and woman of God when we pray. Huh? The Bible says, he said, even before we call on him, he said, I hear you and I answer you. And when we pray for the man of God and we pray for the woman of God and we pray for those that are called by God, some people just win. But when God calls you, he goes before you and he makes the crooked way straight. Huh? He makes it straight. And when he makes it straight, because we're in prayer, because we are praying, God stands up on the cross.
Yeah.
He stands up in the throne room. He said, that's my child prayer. That's my child prayer. And if you don't believe it, go to the scripture when it says, many are the affliction of the righteous. Huh? He said, you say? He said, you're going to be afflicted. Huh? He said, but I, the great I am, I deliver you. Huh? Out of it all. You say, God, I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do. He said, out of it all. You say, God, my business is a fit that out of it all. You say, God, my back is through the wall. Fit that out of it all. Out of it all. He didn't give you a date. He didn't give you a time. But he gave you a promise. What I know about Jesus, a promise is a promise. And he never comes short of his word. Never. God never comes short of his word. I tell you, you can take his word to the bank. You can shout on it. You can praise him in advance. Because he never comes short of his word. And I tell you, as long as we keep our hands in his hand, he's going to deliver. Because the winds are blowing. The Holy Ghost is moving. You say, I've been in this thing a long time. And you think that God don't see you in radio land? Let me tell you, God sees. The Bible says he never sleeps. Nor does he slumber. Honey, let me tell you, when we're sleeping, he's behind the scenes. And if you don't believe it, look at Moses' life. He dealt with some stiff-necked people, some stubborn-haired people, some mumbling, some complaining people, just like we are sometimes. But when he got on the mountain, my God, did God download him or what? When we go into our secret place with God, will God download us? Will he give us direction? Will he, even in this time when people are going crazy about who's going to be the president? Who cares about who's going to be the president? As long as you have your hand in God's hand, he promised to take care of us. He promised to see us through. He promised to make a way out of no way for us. God has promised. He said, I'll take care of you. He goes in the Word of God and he said, it's a bird. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why are you worrying about it? Huh? Did he take them through on dry land? Did he depart a sea? Did their shoes not wear out? My God, did he not call them? And the Word of God said, I am the same God. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. What are you worried about? All you got to do is be an Aaron. My God, be a one to say, I'll go into the inner court. I'll go, God. Send me, God, I'll go. And if you put on a feet in the sixth chapter, my God, if you put on your righteousness, if you put on the helmet, and if you put on salvation, glory be to God, he'll let you see the enemy before he comes. I tell you, he'll let you see it before he comes. And then he'll go back in the Word and he'll tell you, listen, no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. No matter what they do, it ain't going to prosper. He'll let you turn over to Psalms 90 and say, you'll see it with your eyes, but it won't even come near your dwelling. Huh? You'll see it coming, but it won't affect you. And that's when you know that you're maturing in God. When you can see stuff and it don't bother you the same way that it used to, huh? It has no effect, huh? That's when you can say, I'm growing in God. I am seeing who God called me to be. If you take notice in the Word of God, God didn't have time to entertain the adversary. You don't even hear him talking about the adversary. Huh? But he had time. It wasn't in his vocabulary. He didn't care what the devil was doing. Huh? And matter of fact, if you search the Word of God in the New Testament, the devil says to God, hey, why you come here to follow me? Why you bother me? Huh? Why you bother me? That's how it ought to be every day we get up. Every day we get up, the devil just says, oh my God, they got up. Why are they bothering me? Why you bothering me? And if you don't know who you are today, I'll admonish you. Find out who you are. And when you know who you are, you know the rights that you've been given. You know the authority that you have been given. I don't know about you, but I know the authority that I have been given. And the authority is here on this earth. See, let me tell you something, and I'm almost finished. Some of us want to wait to get to heaven and say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing by and by. No, baby, start singing here because we're in classroom. We're in a school right here. He's admonishing us. Get in class. If you're not in class, get in class. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Because when you search the Word of God and you find out who you are, you find out the power and the authority to you. The Bible said we try up. We are overcomers. We're more than conquerors. He said greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He said we win. Why are you crying? Why are you depressed? Why are you oppressed? Because you don't know who you are. But when you know who you are, you look at that devil and you say, demon, go to hell. You say, go to dry and desolate places. You can't move here. You don't came to the wrong house. Huh? Because you know who you are. And as long as we hold up, the man and woman of God, they can pour into us. Huh? They can get clarity. And when they get clarity, because the Bible talks about how the oil came from Aaron's beard, and it rolls down. So when our man and woman of God have clarity, and they're not worried about you coming to them with a bunch of garbage, a bunch of pettiness. Some of us are so old and age, and we still stuck. And God is saying, get us stuck with the foolishness. Get us stuck. People are dying and going to hell, and we still crying about who don't like us. And this one talks about us. Grow up. Stop sucking on the titty and get the Word of God inside of you. Grow up. And when we grow up, let me tell you something. You ain't got time to suck a titty, you eating meat. Huh? Yeah, I said it. But some of us is on the minute too long. And God is saying, grow up. I got people dying and going to hell. And you're still crying about stupid stuff. Grow up. Grow up. Eat the meat. Sit in church all your life. And you're still mumbling and complaining. Still crying about the same God. Grow up. God is looking for some errors to grow up. And say, is this the battle that we got to go through? Come on. Come on. Let's do it. How many people can say we're going to do it? It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. Doesn't matter if you're an elder. Don't matter if you play the piano, the organ, the drums, the usher boy. Be about our Father's business. Time is short. Be about our Father's business. When people come into the house of God, they ought to feel the presence of God. When they come into the house of God, something should take place. Nobody should come the same way and leave the same way they came. Something ought to change. Something ought to happen. Our spiritual baby ought to be leaving. My God, I tell you, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what God is doing in this hour and in this time. I am excited. The harder the trial, the greater the victory. Huh? The harder the trial, meaning just a setup. If you're being afflicted today, if you're being bucked today, you better get the glad, glad, glad. You better get the glad, glad, glad. Because it's a setup for something great to happen. It's a setup. I tell you, God will allow us to be set up just like he did Job. But did he not bless him? Did he not come out with more than enough? I'll admonish you in radio land. It's a setup. You being bumped, it's a setup. You don't know God, get to know him. Don't live without him. Because I tell you, I'm not going to tell you that life is going to get easy, but I'm going to tell you that life will get better with Jesus. It'll get better with him. Because he'll let you know what's coming. And when you know what's coming, you know how to gear yourself, huh? You'll never get in a car and just put the key in the car and drive the car. You get in the car and you look over the car and you say, okay, this drive, this reverse, this is neutral. And that's how it is in our lives. When we take Jesus Christ on board with us, my God, he'll say, go right, go left, drive, go forward. And sometimes he'll tell you, go right up in the enemy set. Sometimes he said, just stand here and look him in the face. Look him in the face. Keep your head up. Look him in the face. Not here, devil. Just the best you got. Not here. Oh, you try to fix my body. But hey, this is nothing but a shell.
That's it.
We got to understand, this ain't nothing but a shell. We try to operate in this shell. We are spirit beings. We are spirit beings. The Bible says that those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So if he said worship him in spirit and in truth, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we come out victorious. We come out victorious. I don't care what kind of doctor report you got. You come out victorious. Huh? We win. I don't care what your bank account look like. Dr. B, we win. Huh? We win. We win. No matter what it looks like, we win. Glory be to God. Sister, you win. I don't care what report you receive, you win. I don't care what the enemy trying to do to you. I come to tell you, it's not by accident that you walked up in here tonight. You're a winner. I don't care what you're like. You are a winner. You were set up to be picked up because you win already. You're not waiting to win. You already won. The mere fact that you got up, you won. The mere fact that God brought you through the door, that signifies I won already. Huh? We can't look at what it looks like in our natural eyes because our natural eyes will deceive us. But when we go in the spirit realm, God said, how you see it? How you looking at it? I look at it and I say, I already won. I already have what God promised me. And being that I already have it, guess what? I go to help somebody else get there. I go to help somebody else. I got calls today. I go, hey, what you say you need? Okay, done. God is looking for people that will have radical faith in this hour and in this time. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about I believe, I know that I believe, and I won't take it back. I don't care what nobody says. I trust him just that much. I trust him. And I tell you one thing. When we hold up, and I can't stop saying it, when we hold up the man and woman of God, and we hold up one another on in prayer and believing, take that negative energy and stop talking about one another and put it into something positive and speak life. speak life in their situation, and you will see that your situation, my situation, will get better.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen? This means I agree with you. Amen? Yes. Glory be to God. I tell you, I just give God praise today. I just bless you. Anybody excited about God? Anybody happy? Happy that you're here? Happy that you got up? Knowing that you know that you know that you already got the victory. Knowing that you know I ain't got to have no organs. I ain't got to have no drugs. I'm telling you, I came with a praise. I said, I came with a praise. Glory be to God. I came excited. I can't look at you. I can't say, God, what you going to do today?
Yeah.
What you going to do today, God? What you going to do it today, God? What you going to say today, God?
Yes,
because I realize it ain't about me. It's about the great I am.
Yes,
oh, my God. He is about the great I am. And he got up on his mind.
Yes.
I said he got up on his mind.
Yes.
The Bible said, ears have not heard. Our eyes haven't even seen
yes.
the things that God has for us. Huh? He got some good things in store for
yes.
us. It ain't over. Whoever told you that it was over, they lied. It ain't over.
It ain't over.
It ain't over. As long as we got breath in our body, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. You got to know that it ain't over. You might be in a tough situation right now. You might not even see your way clear. But I come to tell you that it ain't over. There is hope. Huh? There is hope. The Bible said now, faith, right now. Right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. Is the substance of things hoped for. What you hoping for today? What you hoping for today, baby? What you hoping for? Huh? What you hoping for? But whatever you hoping for, if you got faith to believe it, it will come to pass. It will come to pass.
Yes.
Glory be to God. In my conclusion. Glory be to God. Oh, bless his name. I tell you, I get so excited about God. Woo! I tell you, it's better than going to a race there. When you know that you know that you know that you know. Glory be to God. When you know, Minister Emma, when you know. When you know. You can lift your hand up, but you can do your dance, but you know that victory is your name. You know that God has already changed your situation. You already know. Oh, glory be to God. You ain't got to wait for a man to come in because you know. You know when you got up, there were some promises that God promised you. There were some things God said, I'm going to do for you. And then if you know that you know, can't nobody take that from you. Can't nobody change what God said about you. Glory be to God, because you know it. It's just like when they call us by our name, we know that our name is what they say it is, huh? And no matter how they try to call us out our name, we know our name. And that's how it is with God, because we know. My God, we ain't got to wait because we know. And I tell you, I just bless God this day. I'm so excited. I tell you. I am so excited about God. I'm so excited about what God is doing. I'm so excited about God, how they almost shunned it. I'm so excited about how things have already shifted, how they've already moved in my favor. I am so excited about it because I know, already know. I prophesy to myself every day. Girl, some good's going to happen to you today. Girl, you're walking into victory today. Huh? You better learn to prophesy to yourself. Huh? You better learn to speak life to yourself. I'm living, I ain't died. I got things to see. I got places to go. I'm over there. I'm a live. You hear me? I'm going to live, Dr. B. I ain't done. I ain't got time to die. I ain't got time. Glory be to God. I tell you, I ain't got time. Well, I just bless God. I just give him praise. I just thank him today. Because I know that as long as I continue to pray for the man and woman of God, as long as I continue to pray for my sisters and my brother and those that's in radio land, God is working behind the scene on me. He's working behind the scene. You want to know if God is working? What's your prayer life looking like? What's your prayer life looking like? And when you can understand what your prayer life looking like, you know that God got that. I ain't even going to entertain that he got that. But my conclusion today, I just thank God for this time. Let us pray like we never prayed before. Let us stand in the gap. Let us believe God like we never believed. Let us just believe. Let us just trust God and believe him and take him at his word. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. B. God bless you. And I surely hope and pray that you got something out of that word today. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. They're in the air in the house.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm an air.
I'm an air.
Dad promised us a song last week. Amen. And so we are ready to hear. Amen. So the next voice you will hear will be Reverend Bennett blessing us with this song.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Radio Land, get ready.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, yesterday I was ministering to the people of God.
Yes.
And all day long I just felt something wrong, right? And then when I got home, I still didn't hear it. But I felt that something was going on. But as I began to look at TV, I saw that this man had died. But you never know when God gonna call him. I told him, I said, y'all better get ready. See, I get emotional when it comes down to pack it up. Lord, can I go? Can I go? Can I go? You see, you got to be ready with Jesus. Call your name. And I wonder, I said to myself, that this man didn't know anything. And I might just sing this song, not only for him, because he's gone. But I like to sing the song for you and the people and whoever wants to hear God and know what God is saying. Be not dismayed. Cause God, he never failed me yet. And I looked, I saw people, they were crying because this great man, praise God, they was calling on his name. But you know, I looked up and I said to myself, he's still alive. Jesus.
Yes.
Still be not dismayed. God will take care of you. That's why we got to pray today for all those people that lost. And let us know that the King is still alive. But he'll rise again if he got his hand in the Lord. If he's born again, he's going to rise again with the mighty God, the King of Kings and Lord. Praise the Lord. I just said, Lord, that's why I'm choked. That you'll keep me in perfect peace. You see, sometimes God don't want us to hear a lot of garbage.
Right.
And he protects us because, you know, some people get lost when they hear about things. But I say he
chapter. I'm going to look at one verse right here. Luke 11:29. Amen. Luke 11:27-29. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm reading out of the Compass Bible, which we recommend you get it sometime, or you pick up a copy from the church. The Compass Bible. Here you go. 11:27 says, as he was speaking, a woman sat out from the crowd and interrupted him. Woman, this is what the woman said. How blessed is your mother's womb for bearing you. How blessed her breast for nurturing you. Sounded like a compliment, but this is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
No. You're about to know.
No.
How blessed are those who hear God's voice. Say hear.
Hear.
Him.
Hear.
And make God's message, say God's message.
God's message.
Their way of life. Hallelujah. Jesus could have taken the accolade that the woman of God gave him to his mother. Get this. Jesus loved his mother. He wasn't disrespecting her, but Jesus came here for a mission. It wasn't to come here to Hail Mary. Mary's fine. She did her great. She's awesome mother. Awesome mother. But he came here to do the will of him who sent me.
Yes.
He came here to reconcile man back to God.
Yes.
He knew without a doubt that him going to the cross was his assignment.
Yes.
He was going to complete it, and he did.
Yes.
But how many of you know that we don't only, the scriptures that says Jesus came that we might have life. At the cross, bringing life back to us, eternal. And then the word says, and have it more abundantly. I'm here to tell you today that we miss out on half the blessing. You're living and breathing, but are you living in the abundant life? Amen? And I'm not talking about just having cash in the bank, because Prince left millions in the bank. Magic. Michael Jackson left millions in the bank. Amen?
Yes.
Some of you may be a lot of money in the bank.
Yes.
But the abundant life has a whole lot more to do than just nickels and dimes and dollars.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
There's a scripture that says, I would that you prosper and be what? In good health, even as your what? Soul does prosper. So, he's not just looking for you to have money in the bank and that signifies that you are wealthy and living well and living the abundant life. It's not that just you just in physical, a good physical condition.
Yes.
And that's a good thing that you are.
Yes.
Amen. But if your soul, amen,
yes,
is in the basement,
yes,
if your soul has deficits, if your soul is anemic,
yes,
if your soul is in a poverty state, if you are not hungry and thirsty after God and his righteousness,
yes,
I'm here to tell you. Jesus said, let's get to the point. Man born, and I think Joe said it well, very well, man born of a woman is but what? A few days.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, because he was in his woe is me time, and those are full of trouble.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? So that it is not just enough that the woman was talking about blessing your mama's womb and bless all your breasts. She was more blessed than that. He said, listen, if you hear God's voice and you treat his word, if you eat his word, if it was your way of life.
Yes.
Joshua 1:8 said it very plainly for us, if you're confused by now. He says, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, that you meditate on it when? And then you should have what? Make your way successful.
Yes.
And then you should have what? Good success. Just there. Many of us started out thinking that it was, if you hear a word, a good word, whether it was in a praise song, whether it was in a talk word, whether it was in a preach word, you heard it that day, you can take it and run off of that word and go on with it and do all great exploits. Maybe so. But this scripture says, meditate on it. When? Both day and night. I'm preaching a message tomorrow at the memory center that says, it says, hear it and keep it. I don't know about you, but my brain is such a state, and I bless God for it. You can walk up to me and tell me your name, and 10 seconds later, I don't remember what your name was. I mean, names just do not retain, and my brain is a number name, not a number. So that you can hear something and you can forget it, and if you forget it before you begin to live it, then you really haven't prospered from hearing it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a scripture over me that says they got the word, they heard the word was preached, but when they heard the word, it was not what? Mixed with faith.
Yeah.
Amen. He was forced to that. And so you have to mix the word with faith, but you have to hold on to it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just, you know, get down to the end of the block. And what did the preacher say? What did she say? Going to be an Aaron or an Andrew? Which one did she say? You know what I'm saying? You gotta hold on to it. You gotta retain it. You know, when we were coming up old school, the way they got us to remember stuff is we had to sing it. A B C D E F G over and over again. Amen. You remember when you have the sing of songs, three by nine, and then somebody else would go and say, you sang a whole lot when we were coming up in rural Texas. But you remember, we retained the longest. It's been 60-some years, I still remember. Three by nine, why? Because I sung it 110 times, you know, before I got out of first grade. Amen. We got some teachers in here. It is a repetition. It is holding on to it. I still remember from the eighth grade learning High Flight by John Gillespie McGee. Oh, I have slipped the 30 bonds of earth. And then, you know what I'm saying? You remember stuff that you, what, meditate on. You remember stuff that you practice. You remember stuff. Let me tell you something. If, the poem If, I remember this one line. If you can keep your head when all others about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you could do that, it's likened to that scripture. As much as depends on you, live peacefully one with another. Now, because I retained though that concept and that scripture in my spirit, woman, in my mind, as I meditate on it, it became my way of life. When I first came here back in the 80s, early 90s, I worked for one of the leading prosecuting attorneys in this area, Carol Bright. And Carol Bright, she's an awesome Jewish woman. I love her. She's just really, really good at what she does. But I told her one day, I said, I can't work for you no longer. I can't. Oh, no, Dr. B, please. What's that? I said, first of all, I have to lie too many times a day. And my soul is working for me. And I just, the phone rang, you standing in front of me, and I had to say, you ain't here. That don't work for me. You know what I'm saying? You can't pay me enough to lie that much. I love you, though, but I got to go. She said, if you just come in here, don't be nothing, just sit. I need the peace that you bring. You bring such peace. Hallelujah. I was in my early 40s, and I'm saying, God, I thank you, because it began to witness to me of the word that God had already, I'd already meditated on. You know, as much as it depends on you, you know, I started saying, I'm a woman of peace. I love peace. You know, my daughter one time, she called me, and she was complaining about something. She really wanted me to be upset with her. And then she abruptly stopped the meal and said, go ahead, Mom, make peace. That's what you do. But if you eat the word, then you begin to become the word. The Bible says the entrance of God's word brings life. Where does it bring life to you? To your confidence. So you'll know how to behave. You can't control anybody else's behavior. But if you are guided and corrected and instructed and endowed and prospered by the word of God, then nobody can do anything to you, really, amen, that can destroy your groove. Your groove is, I'm going to be in peace. You know, all that madness out there, that's with you. But for me and what I'm going to do, I got peace. I got joy. It's unspeakable. These things I'm not going to give up. Jesus said in his word, my peace I give to you. Not like the world gives, I give it. You know what I'm saying? So if God gave me something, he gave me a gift of peace. You think I'm going to give it up for you?
Yeah.
Amen? You may catch me on a 15-second commercial, go, okay, all right, but I'm back at what? Back at tennis.
Yeah.
At my feet. Because I know that I'm like a fish out of water unless I'm in peace. You know, I have learned enough about this word to know that peace is a strong. Why would he, let me tell you what. Jesus could have left us a whole lot. He could have left us a whole lot of things. But he said, I'm going to give you my peace. My peace I give it to you. Why was that so important? Because and he gave you who he is. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says that he is a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, what? The Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
The Prince of Peace,
yes,
gave you his peace, gave you himself. And so when we say, great is he that is in me, that he is in the world, what you're really saying is, the great peace that I have, amen, is mine.
Yes. Yes.
It's indicative of the fact that I live and move and have my being in him.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
It's indicative that
as I've worn the image of the earthly, my mother. Amen. But I am also born the image of the heavenly, my Father. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I can't let a period stop here. I can't say this. Oh, you're blessed because you came through your mother's womb. Oh, you're blessed because, you know, you sucked at her breast. No, you're blessed because if you hear God's voice, amen, and you retain what you hear, you make it a lifestyle. You know, when I came here in the 80s, and I'm like Paul, both of them things of the Lord, and people found out, amen, that I was, you know, that I knew a little word. I hadn't gone to Bible college when I got here. In fact, when I went to sign up, I got a degree in psychology, 1987. I came here with a psychology degree, and I went to sign up. I found a flyer, Nettie's flyer, amen, on her Bible college, community Bible college, and I called to sign up to go, because by then I'd already accepted my call to the ministry, but I hadn't been to a Bible college at all. I didn't know nothing about hermeneutics and theology and spirituality and all some of that stuff. I still don't know, amen. Don't know Hebrew, no Greek. All I know is I love Jesus. Jesus loved me. So I figured I better go get that little, you know, that little Bible college degree. Well, I called to sign up for it, and before we got off the phone, she said, you need to come and teach. What you know, we need psychology. We need this and that. So I went to the little Bible college, amen, and for the next several years, I taught Christian counseling. And that's how I earned my master's degree in Christian counseling by teaching Christian counseling, amen. Dr. Hayward will always say, girl, your only degree you need is neology. She's telling me that all the time. You already got what you need, Dr. Hayward. You got what you need. Amen. And by her affirming that and the word, and so people would come to me, you know, in those 7 years, and they would call me on the phone and say, Dr. B, where this scripture at? Dr. B, where, you know, explain this word, you know, whatever like that. I always had a quick revelation of the word of God. That was a gift that he gave me. Amen. And I thank God for it. But because that was a gift for me to quickly discern the word, I had to be very careful because I learned very early that if a person gets a revelation about a scripture in their life, that becomes their lifestyle. It's like B.B. King used to say, I love to live the life that I sing about. People would, really, I wanted to live the life that I read about in the scripture. My pastor told me one time, he said, read it till you see it. Read it till you be it.
Yeah.
You understand? In terms of God's word. Amen? So that I would know that it was in there. I wasn't one of those kind of pastors who were, well, in Hosea, chapter 3, verse 4, it says that. I didn't have that photographic memory, but I can tell you what's in it.
Yeah.
Like like Prego is in it, I can tell you what is in the book. Now, where exactly of it is, I don't know, but trust me, it's in the book. I had great teachers. I had a teacher who loved the word. My teacher was in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. She walked in signs of miracles. Brenda Wright was. She would come and speak for me sometimes, and she would just lay hands on the Bible and never open it up. Just put our hand right there and preach 3 or 4 hours. We'd sit there like we were at a TDJ company, just mouth open, just surfing it all up. Amen. But it was nothing but words. She knows the word of God like that. Her lifestyle is like that. For 40 years, she's done nothing but work for the Lord. Not for a church, amen, but for the Lord by imparting his word, mentoring people. To help people all over the world, the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Living by faith. Living in mansions. One of the houses that I went, I used to go stay with her for 30 days at a time. And one of the houses that I went to was across the street from Dale Evans. Y'all remember him a long time ago, whatever like that. She always lived well. I said, God, I wish I could do this. Live off the word. Amen. By faith. She lived well. She got favor with God and with man. Amen. Why? Because this word became her lifestyle. She did nothing but this. Nothing but this. Well, when you hear her testimony, because a lot of times people think that great teachers just roll out of the womb, preaching and teaching and whatever like that. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. When she got saved in her early, you know, 30s or whatever like that, after having 2 babies out of wedlock, And being out on the street, she was a model. She was up in New York doing what she was big and bad enough to do. When she went to a revival one time because her sister, you know, just
kept bugging her about it, but she went there and she sat on the front row and smoked a cigarette while the man of God was preaching, and he didn't slack off her preaching. Amen. You remember her telling her testimony. And so when he got to preaching, he's begging and goes for hours. He said, when did some get through? Whatever like that. And all of a sudden, about the 4th hour, the man kept looking at her and said, why are you looking at me? I thought he may have tried to set me up for you wanted something. I don't know why you keep looking at me. So finally, something just, she just kicked me up off of that chair. Next thing I know, I was in the front of the room. And I had given my life to God. I hadn't planned it either. The man left and went back home, wrote a letter to say, to her, to bless her for making that decision that night. And within 5 days, the man was there. He was the last soul that he said that was going to write. 4 years later, and then 6 years later now, he's still preaching the gospel and so responsible for people all over the world. Why? Because this word, when she got radically saved right there, from the life of a street walker, amen, to the life of an awesome preacher, woman of God, and now making disciples all over the world. Why? Because this one scripture says that when you hear God's word, make it your lifestyle. Make it your lifestyle. Come on, church. We want this word to be our lifestyle. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about, oh my God, get so holy, then that is, earthly good, nothing like that. I'm just saying, this is it. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear God's voice and make God's message their way of life. Just there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that God's word is his message. And I like to say it before our house, I like to say, it ain't nothing but a love script.
Hallelujah. So I'm saying he said his word. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. For us to hear the word of God, and it is necessary.
afternoon. We thank God for what He's done, what has been said, amen, to His glory and to our blessing in life. We're going to have our reverend now to come and take up our offer for the day. Ask you to give. It's the fourth Saturday, and we need to, amen, put some grease up in our account, amen, so that we can feed them. So I bless the Lord, amen, for an overflow in our giving today. Amen.
Amen. Glory.